With verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the city of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring you great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds reported to them." Something unique pops out when we read Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. Luke uses repetition in his writing to signal to us the details that are especially important to him. For example, in Luke's account of the Christmas miracle, the word joy is used over and over and over again in the first two chapters. When Luke talks about the encounter between Mary and the angel Gabriel, the word virgin is used three times in rapid succession. The Holy Spirit descended upon the Virgin Mary. A glory cloud rested upon her, and she became miraculously pregnant with the Son of God. Here in chapter 2, Luke mentions three times that Jesus was wrapped in strips of cloth and lain in a manger. By repetition, Luke is telling us implicitly that this is an important detail. Explicitly, the angel tells the shepherds that this is a sign by which they will recognize that this baby is the Christ. "This will be a sign to you that you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You know, when I saw that, it aroused my curiosity a little bit. What does this sign of a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger mean? What did it mean to the shepherds 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas night? And what does it mean to us here tonight? Looking at the scriptures, I find three things that I want to share with you quickly. What does the sign of the baby in a manger mean? First of all, it means that Jesus is the true bread of heaven. Sometimes things make it into our religious traditions and we're not exactly sure where they came from. For example, the Bible doesn't actually say how many wise men came to worship Jesus, only that there were three gifts that were presented. When it comes to the manger scene, there's a long-standing tradition that there were oxen and donkeys present. Whenever we see a creche, we almost always see an ox and a donkey in the manger scene. It's in our Christmas carols. "Oxen ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today." The funny thing is that the Gospels don't say anything at all about oxen or donkeys. And yet that tradition goes back as far back in church history as anybody can trace. And so I wonder, why is that? Well, in fact, the ox and the ass and the manger are mentioned together in the Bible, but not in the Christmas miracle story. They appear in Isaiah 1:3. God says there, "I have nourished my children. I have brought them up, but they have wandered away from me." The ox knows its master, and the donkey knows its owner who fills its manger, but my people don't know me. They don't understand. From the earliest days of Christianity, believers have linked that little verse in Isaiah 1:3 to the sign of the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God says, "I nourished my children. I was their sustenance. I was their source of life. I was their source of inner satisfaction. I was their source of security and peace and joy, of provision. I was their daily bread, but they turned away from me." An ox recognizes its master. Even a donkey recognizes its owner who fills its manger, but my people don't recognize me for who I am and what I do. If you read on in the book of Isaiah, you'll discover that God had an answer to that problem. It was the birth of a son. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father." A branch from the house of David, God's righteous servant who would suffer and die to pay the price for our sins and restore our wandering heart back to God. On Christmas night, the Son of God was born in a stable, and they wrapped him in cloths and they laid him in a manger. And when God called the shepherds to come to Bethlehem and to see this sight, it was so that they could look and recognize their master, their Lord, and the one who cares for them. And God wants each one of us to do the same tonight. He wants us to look and to believe on Jesus, to recognize that Jesus is our master, our Lord, and our soul provider. The baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, is a sign that Jesus came to undo the wandering tendencies of our heart that God talked about in Isaiah 1:3. Jesus came to lead us back to our source of life. He came to lead us back to the one who nourishes us, who satisfies the longings of our soul, who gives us joy and peace and strengthens and sustains us. A manger is a feeding trough, and what is placed in a manger is food. The baby in a manger is a sign that Jesus is the true bread of heaven. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry again. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the sins of the world. I am the true bread who came down from heaven. Everyone who looks to me and believes shall have eternal life." What does the sign of a baby in a manger mean? Second, it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. The night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God's promises came full circle. Centuries earlier, there was a shepherd boy from Bethlehem who lifted his voice in praise to God from the pastures. God called that shepherd boy from the pasture to the palace to be the shepherd of his people. He was David, the shepherd king. And God promised that one day another king would come from the line of David to be the shepherd of his people forever. So it was only right that shepherds would be the first ones to come and hear the good news that God's promised shepherd king was finally born. The sacrificial animals for the temple were raised in the pastures near Bethlehem. Jesus was born in the same season as the sacrificial lambs that would be set aside for the upcoming Passover. These shepherds weren't ordinary shepherds. These shepherds were out in the fields watching carefully over the birth of the sacrificial Passover lambs. The baby in a manger is a sign that Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus was not of this world, and this world was not his home. At his birth, he had no place to lay his head. They wrapped him in strips of cloth, and they laid him in a borrowed manger. Luke said of Jesus, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." At Jesus' death, they wrapped him in strips of cloth, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. The baby in a manger is a sign that from the very beginning, Jesus was set aside as God's spotless sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was wounded for our transgressions and pierced for our iniquities. The price that bought us peace was laid upon him. What does the sign of the baby in a manger mean? It means Jesus is the bread of heaven. It means Jesus is the Lamb of God. And finally this, it means that Jesus triggers radically opposite reactions in people's hearts. Pastor Jason, come and help me. Jesus triggers radically opposite reactions in people's hearts. Denise and I bought our first little house here in Greenwich 4 days after our twins were born. It was 900 square feet. And to say that this house was a fixer-upper would be an understatement worthy of a Washington press conference. And so while Denise was taking care of our premature twins, I was left in charge of the house renovations. And I remember we had this one wall in our kitchen, and I wanted to display a very special piece of furniture against this one wall. It was a baker's rack. It was the first piece of furniture that Denise and I bought together after we were married. We actually gave it to one another for Christmas. And the finish on our baker's rack has these glints of gold on all the edges and on the details. And so I wanted to put a color on the kitchen wall that would bring out those accents. So without consulting Denise, I picked this color called Ralph Lauren Chamois, and I put it on the wall. Well, chamois turned out to be one of those colors that could not be ignored. It drew an immediate reaction from everyone who saw it. I loved it, but I was in a very small minority of people with superior taste. Other people, including Denise, absolutely hated it. But that's the way it was with that particular color. You either loved it or you hated it, but you could not ignore it. And beloved, that's the way it has always been with Jesus. The soft wrappings of cloth around his body and the rough manger in which he was placed are signs of this thing. Those two things stand in sharp contradiction to one another. The wrappings of cloth speak of the love and the care and the attentiveness of his mother. She hovered over him with all the tenderness and all the eagerness of a new mother. She wrapped him lovingly. She laid him in the manger ever so carefully. She watched over him vigilantly. She rejoiced over him triumphantly. She worshiped him softly. The wrappings of cloth showed how much Mary loved and how she received this child, Jesus. In stark contrast, the crude crib, a manger, a feeding trough. Luke states the reason why Jesus was put there. It's because there was no room for him anywhere else. The manger is a sign of men's indifference to Jesus, of their rejection of him. of their harsh treatment of him. From the very start, Jesus drew these kinds of sharp, contradictory responses. Mary and Joseph rejoiced over Jesus while their neighbors gossiped. The shepherds rejoiced over Jesus while the townspeople of Bethlehem paid him no mind. The wise men rejoiced over Jesus while Herod fumed and plotted. It was like that all through Jesus' life. And beloved, it is still like that with Jesus today. What other figure in the history of the world has drawn such a sharp contrast between those who love him and those who have rejected him? What other figure in the history of the world has been adored and celebrated more than Jesus? Tonight, we join 1/3 of the earth's population celebrating the fact that he came. No one else in the history of the world has inspired works of art and music and literature and architecture and government and a fair and a just and a peaceful society like Jesus. If you look at Western society at its zenith, you'll see the fruit of Christianity in culture. If you look at the rest of the world, you'll see the fruit of idolatry and false religions in culture, moral corruption and poverty and abuse and crime, and a squelching of creativity and innovation and progress. Jesus is the preeminent figure in human history. Indeed, time itself is measured in relationship to his coming. But what other figure in human history has been despised and rejected like him? What other people have been persecuted like those who are followers of Jesus? Beloved, can I tell you, we need to pray tonight for our Christian brothers and sisters in Northern Africa, in Sudan, in Libya, in Egypt, in Syria, in the Middle East, all over, Pastor Saeed in Iran. 2013 has been one of the worst years of persecution and martyrdom in the entire history of the church, and it's intensifying still. Last week, 50 Christians in Nigeria were burned alive inside of their pastor's home. Men and women and little children martyred for the sake of Jesus. What other name has been outlawed by governments, banned by public policies, and mocked by scoffers? Go to Times Square, and whose name will you see there on the bulletin board? Let's take Christ out of Christmas. You won't see Buddha, Shiva, Vishnu. You won't see anyone. What other name has been scorned like Jesus' name? The baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. The object of undying love and devotion by some, and the object of indifference and outright scorn for others. To get back to our kitchen wall for a minute, Denise didn't like that color one bit. So she had our friend Joe Scopoletti mix a bunch of white paint into it, and we watered the color down. And after that, it didn't bring reactions from anyone anymore. It was neither inspiring nor exciting. It was just there. And that's the same with Jesus. Some people want to water him down. As long as he's a moral philosopher, as long as he's a doer of good, as long as he's a champion of the poor, he's no bother. He's neither inspiring nor exciting. He's just out there. But if you really look at the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger, if you see him as he is, full strength, undiluted, the bread of heaven, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Master and Lord, then you can't ignore him anymore. You can't remain indifferent anymore. Either love him or reject him. You must do something with Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if true, is of utmost importance. If untrue, is of no importance. but what it can never be is of moderate importance. So as we come to the final few minutes of this Christmas Eve service, I want to ask this evening, what about you? Have you recognized the sign of the baby in the manger? The shepherds saw it and they believed. Do you believe in Jesus? I asked Pastor Jason to lead us in a beautiful little song. Maybe you know it. If you don't, you can catch on real fast. It simply says, "Isn't he beautiful?" Would you stand together with us this evening and let's sing. If you know it, sing with us. If you don't know it, you'll catch on just one time through. Let's sing.
Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful is Son of God,
isn't he? Isn't he
wonderful?
Oh, wonderful, isn't he? Counselor,
mighty God,
isn't he? Lift your voice, sing with us. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You're wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, you are. Counselor.
Counselor.
Oh, come on, would you sing that again? Lift up your hands. Let's sing, yes, you are.
Yes, you are beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, yes, you are. Prince of peace, Son of God.
Yes, you are wonderful.
Yes, you are wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, yes, you are. Counselor, Almighty God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Come on, would you give Jesus a big praise in this place this evening? Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give Jesus a big praise in this place tonight. Would you bow your heads with me for just one moment? Just one moment, we're going to light candles and we're going to sing and we're going to have our benediction. But just before we do that, I have to ask you this question. Jesus has always triggered radically opposite reactions in people's hearts. John said, "The true light that brings light to every man came into the world." And though the world was made by him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. But to as many as did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God. What is your response to Jesus on this Christmas Eve? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you received him into your heart? Have you received his cleansing from sin? Have you made him the leader of your life? I can't think of anything better on this Christmas Eve before we go on to our family and friends, before we go on to our tables and celebrating and gift giving and gift receiving. I can't think of anything better than taking a moment to welcome Jesus into your heart. I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. Maybe you've already prayed this prayer. Maybe you prayed it long ago, but I want to ask if you'd pray it again with me this evening. And if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, would you lift up your hands and would you say this prayer with us? Everyone, would you lift up your hands? I'm going to lead. I'm going to ask you to follow. And if you want to invite Jesus into your heart, say this prayer with me. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Christmas miracle. Thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus. Thank you for the sign of the baby lying in a manger. Jesus, I believe that you are the bread of life. I believe that you are the Lamb of God. I believe you died on the cross to take away my sins. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come on, let's just celebrate that. God bless you, everyone. On your way in this evening, you received a candle, and I want to ask you to take your candle. And as our final act of worship tonight, we're going to pass a single flame through this entire congregation to celebrate the light of salvation that comes through Jesus. And as you reach out your candle this evening to receive the flame, let it be a symbol that tonight you've reached out your heart to receive Jesus as your Savior and King. When the flame comes to you, I want you to just say in your heart, Jesus, thank you for giving me your light. We're going to pass the flame all the way through the room now. The choir is going to lead us, sing along with us while we do. And then after we've done that, we'll have a benediction and we'll go on with our Christmas. God bless you, everyone. Let's light up this room with the light of God's love.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore. Oh, what will I spend with you? Here I am to worship. Here I am.
Come on, would you just praise the Lord right now? Would you just lift up your heart to Him right now? Come on, would you just add your own lyrics, add your own melody, and just worship Jesus for one moment on this beautiful Christmas Eve? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you now that every light shining on every tree, shining through every window, hung from every home, Lord, every light is a testimony that Jesus, the light of the world, has come and brought us salvation. Father, I pray through this Christmas Eve, this Christmas day, Lord, through this week and into the new year, I pray that the light of Jesus' love, Lord, would fill our hearts to overflowing. I pray, Lord, that there would be a joyfulness, Lord, that would come from deep inside of us, Lord. Lord, you thank you that you give us peace, Lord, not like the world gives. Lord, it can't be taken away, but Lord, you give us your peace. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd bless our families, bless our friends, bless our loved ones, Lord. Father, bless our time in fellowship over these next several days. Lord, I pray your watch care over your people. Lord, over everyone traveling near and far, Lord. Thank you for commanding your angels, Lord, to watch over us. Lord, and as we finish this new year, I pray this year, Lord, I pray that it would be with gratitude and thankfulness. And as we come into the new year, I pray that it would be full of anticipation for the good things that you have ahead. Lord, bless your people now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. All right, come on, let's sing Joy to the World. After you've sung, you can go. Merry Christmas. God bless you, everyone. Have a great time in Jesus.
sing Feliz Navidad. We're going to join us together and sing this song.
Feliz Navidad.
We want to wish you